Chapter 27 this evening. Genesis chapter number 27. This is a story right now that is, when we go through it tonight, it's about a messed up family. It really is. I mean, all four characters present in this chapter is a home full of jealousy, full of deceit. I'm talking about Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, and Jacob. Where the home should be a place of love and care and tenderness. This here is just an open biblical passage of how a lot of families live. Not just this family, but a lot of families live this way. How many of you have ever had small children that learned very young to play the trick? Dad, Mom wants to know if it's okay with you that I go over to Susie's house. Well, you're automatically thinking, well, she said it's okay, maybe it's okay. And so they play against each other. You say, well, yeah, I think it's okay if it's okay with Mom. They turn out and go out the door and go, Mom, Dad said I could go. It's okay with you. They learn very young. Very young. Husbands go out and buy something, that they've wanted and desired, another drill or something that they got four in the closet. And they don't tell their wife about it, and she finally sees the receipt laying on the counter, or she washes the receipt in their pants and pulls it out. So, what's this all about? Well, I just thought I needed this 3/4 impact wrench. Instead of just out to the ladies, you can laugh. You've done bought shoes galore or something. That deceit is all in our homes. This is 44 verses tonight, so I'm not going to read like I normally do the whole chapter beforehand. I think I'm going to read each section. So verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to talk about each section as we go through this. Here, verses 1 through 4 is actually the father, Isaac. There, and you'll see he's got a plot in mind, and it's contrary to the Lord. Isaac has a plot. Let's read verses 1 through 4, then we'll talk about it, then we'll move on to Rebecca, then Jacob, then Esau, and then round this up really quick. Chapter 27, verse number 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out in the field, and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Okay? We got a problem here with Isaac. A little problem. He's weak. He's dim. The flesh is coming to the end of his life. But when we get to that point, the spiritual part shouldn't be diminishing. We got a problem here. On both sides, spiritually speaking and fleshly or humanly or biologically, whatever you want to say, he's dim of eyes, he's getting close to death. But the problem is, the spiritual part should stay strong because you have more time, seemingly should have more time to spend with you and God as a senior, as somebody in age. You should be more mature, more apt to have a solid biblical Bible reading, prayer time, hymn and spiritual song time, where you have learned over years to walk with God. And as the years get closer, you know your body's drawing nigh to an end. It's just appointed unto man wants to die. It's going to happen. But the spiritual side shouldn't be going down. But here we find Isaac is having a spiritual depletion. of power in his walk with God. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because he says here is his plan and his plot is to follow the norm. What was the norm? The firstborn would be what? Be blessed. He would have the inheritance and he would be the one in charge. And it's just, it was the norm. But that wasn't God's plan. God had a different plan. Go back over to Genesis 25. In verse number 23. Genesis 25, verse number 23. And the Lord said unto her, this is the Lord speaking to Rebekah. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. What's God's plan? God's plan was contrary to the normal activity of inheritance, normal activity of blessings there, but it was God's plan. The dilemma came in Genesis 25 and verse 28. If you look there, Genesis 25 and verse number 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. We have a favoritism going on. We have this one loving this one more, this one loving that more. You know, and it is a difficult situation. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened before. I thank God up to this point in my life, when I look at my children, I just look at them as my children. I love them all equal. You know, even at times whenever they're making decisions that are not good and not right, I just love them. I'm praying that God will keep it that way. I'm praying that that will be the Lord's way all the way till I die, until I'm old, is I love them all equal. There, and I'd hate to be a respecter of one of my children above the other one. There. But there's the problem. It began way back. It didn't start right now at the end of his life. It began way back under, in Genesis 25. And so now all of a sudden, Isaac in his weakness, Isaac in the latter part of his life, he allowed himself to be spiritually drained also, and he was because of his spiritual weakness, he's now disregarding the very will of God. God's will was that Jacob would be blessed. He was going to try to overrule it, change God's plan and God's way, but Esau had determined his own path. Decisions that Esau made had determined the path of the blessing by him own self. He sold his own birthright for a bowl of pottage. He was a young man that was controlled by the appetite of the flesh. And so he had, in younger years, lost his own birthright by the choices he made. And later on in life, because he made that bad decision, he also made another bad decision that we read about last week in the last two verses. He chose two women that was completely outside of God's way of living. And it caused problems and heartache, and it even bothered Jacob a little bit, but not enough for Jacob to realize that, hey, I've got to do right. Jacob began to plot against the very will of God and was going to bless Esau, even though it was not God's plan. Verses 5 through 17. Rebekah. Here's the mother. Now she has a counterplot. You know, it's almost like the family of life chess game or something. Pawn here, move there, trying to figure it out. And nobody's looking to God, it seems, up to this point. Let's see if the rest of these characters get in line. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that when I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Verse 10, And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I will bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Behold, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went, fetched, and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which were with him in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat, the bread, which she had prepared, unto the hand of her son Jacob. So here comes the counterplot. She had remembered what God said in Genesis 25:23. She had understood that. Now she's acting as if God can't care for his own plan. Now she's acting and pursuing a situation that is going to bring pain, heartache, and suffering because she believes that God is not able to regard or keep his promise or his plan or his will, which he had already revealed to them. And she acted to preserve God's blessing as if she had some kind of power or some kind of overwhelming ability to control the situation and leave God out. Kind of like what Brother Ray prayed a while ago. God, we know you got this, but we got it too. So God, I remembered in Genesis 25:23 that you said the younger is going to rule over the older. But God, you're not on time right now. Jacob, he's done sent Esau out. He's going against you. Now, I can say this, two wrongs never make a right. So Jacob's got Esau out there chasing down some deer to bring it back and bless because he thinks he's God. He's going to overrule God's plan. Rebekah hears it, eavesdropping. Be careful with your eavesdropping, by the way. Eavesdropping upon the situation because, and now she's convinced the one she loved to go against her father. And in the middle of the conversation, he said, "Oh, I don't know about this one." But because of all the years that she's spent doting over Jacob, Jacob gives in. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Her sin is inexcusable. But so is Jacob's. His sin is inexcusable. Trying to bless Esau when God said this is not what's going to happen. Now the mother has jumped in there to counter the plot. She's kind of following the fleshly desires to run ahead of God. I think Sarah did that. Remember that? Abram, I know that me and you can't have no children, but I got this handmaid over here. You chase after the flesh and the answer's in the flesh, dear friend, you're going to have trouble. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. So she's falling after them, and you know, and I wonder how often we have been guilty Not in this situation, but trying to get ahead of God. Trying to step out there and just make sure that this here detour that's fixing to happen. Listen, Isaac should have known better. Isaac was headed up the mountain up there with his father Abraham, and they were going to worship, and there was the wood, and there was the fire, and there was the knife, and everything was there, the two young men with them, and there's no lamb running around here. And they passed by a couple of houses, and he knew that they didn't pick up a lamb. Hey, Dad, what's going on here? We've done this before. We're missing a night. Abraham said, the Lord shall provide. He saw God's hand at work. He didn't understand what God was doing, but we don't have to understand. We just have to live by faith. And he could have looked back into his life and said, listen, this is why it's very important that we do not allow ourselves in our latter years to become weak in the spirit. Because we'll make some bad decisions. The mind's already not so right. How many of you went into the kitchen this afternoon looking for something that wasn't there that you didn't even know what you was looking for? The mind will play tricks on you as you get older. I've gone into several rooms here, and I'm just at 51, and I've gone into several rooms and said, what am I doing here? What did I come in here for? So don't allow yourself to get spiritually drained, because you will make bad decisions if you're depending upon your mind. It's obvious he had done forgot about going up that mountain. It's obvious. Sarah laughed and mocked, remember? And the Lord said to her, why are you laughing? I wasn't laughing. Oh yeah, you laughed. You laughed, Sarah. She's forgotten. Do you think that they had not heard about the stories of Hagar? After all, Ishmael was not a figment of nobody's imagination. He was a real person. You think they hadn't already done heard the stories? Yes. We know they had, because this man, Isaac, made the same problems, same faults and lies that Abraham made. Abraham made it twice, lied about Sarah. He comes up last chapter and lies about her. They knew this. But later in their lives, they relied upon themselves and not being able to recall the blessings of God in their life to fight off this and say, listen, we don't have to plot, because listen, the ultimate plot was against God. They thought they were plotting against each other, but they were plotting against God. Because this was not God's plan. Alright, verses 18 through 29. Now we go to Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison. That my soul that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Let me pause here. This just came to my mind. Isn't it amazing how quick he can remember how long it should take to get a deer? But he can't remember the promises of God. That's what the flesh does for us. I'm also, what you doing back so quick? You shouldn't have got back so quick. He knew how long it should have took to go get a deer. All right, that's verse 19. 20? Okay, yes. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, Lord. Now he's invoking God in his life. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, and that my soul may be bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine and drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of the corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." He should have listened to his heart in verse 12. Verse 12, Jacob's heart convicted him. "Mama, I'm different than Esau. Mama, I'm going to be cursed. I'm going to be as a deceiver." How many of you know, does it quit deceiving start? The deceiving quits right now? What you sow, you shall certainly reap. Because when he gets over there to his uncle's house, he meets the deceiver of deceivers. I mean, he gets it laid on him pretty thick. I mean, it's bountiful when it's all said and done. But he should have listened to verse to his heart. I'm telling you, dear friend, God don't have to keep yelling at you, shouting at you, sounding the horn and sounding the wonder, throwing up red flags. There was one time that his heart pricked him, and he should have heeded. But his mama convinced him. His mama convinced him. She began to work on him. He impersonates his brother. Listen how it builds up. Impersonates his brother. Tells lies to his father. And invokes God in this business. "God brought me this deer. That's not a big deal. After all, two by two." You see how we rationalize it? You think he hadn't heard about the story of Noah? Two by two. Maybe God's in this. Maybe God can hear Jacob saying, "The wheels are turning." But he's conceived, he's deceived, and he knows it. He's feeling it. He's hearing it. He's depending upon the flesh. Smells like the sun. He's hairy. "I've got goats. Those goat skins don't feel like no human I ever felt in my life. I don't know what kind of hairy Esau was. He needed some nair. Surely thou art my very son." He's depending upon the flesh. Depending upon the flesh. This is the extent. Listen. In my mind, you have a pretense of deception. He was a little drawn back in verse 12. He wasn't quite sure, but he went ahead and fell into lockstep with his mom and went ahead and did it. The pretense turned into lies. And before long, lies turned into blasphemy. God wasn't 1,000 miles from this mess. God wasn't nowhere near. But how many times have we done the same thing? We throw something out there and say, "God, if it happens, if it comes through, you must have been in it. You must have been in it." And we invoke God. That's been a lifelong lie, hasn't it? "God, the woman you gave me." Been from the beginning, isn't it? We try to pass the blame, send it on to God's wife. "Well, God created me in His image and His likeness, and He knows that I'm full of sin." That's kind of an oxymoron, contradictory there, right? We are full of sin, but He is not.
Amen.
But we go there with a, like we're carrying a crutch over there. God, you've created me the way I am, so I can't help myself. That's a lie, because he said, I've made a way of escape. Boy, he deceived. We got the Father's blessing when it was already his. He did not have to deceive. It already been promised by God himself. Be careful how you lead the little ones. Mother and father calls all this here craziness going on right now. Verse 30. Down to verse 40. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of my sons, thy son's venison, and thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn son, Esau. Now, Esau's trying to invoke spirituality, where he's not lived spiritual his entire life. Oh yeah, I'm a member of the Lock Haven Home. Yeah, I've been baptized. Yeah, I'm a member of that church. Yeah. Can't tell if you're a member of God's family on Monday or Tuesday, but you want to invoke God in your spirituality whenever you get in the corner. I'm your firstborn. What did that mean? I deserve the spiritual blessing. It's mine. Verse 33, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he who hath that have taken venison and brought it to me, and have eaten of all there before thou camest, and I have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. In verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exciting bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and have taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now all of a sudden he's remembering. Now he's blaming. He didn't have to go over there and ask for that pottage. He didn't go over and swap out the birthright for a bowl of lentils. He did it himself. But now he's blaming Jacob. Take away my blessing, he said, hath thou not reserved a blessing for me? Verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. You know, many times we don't quite understand what God's doing. But in the middle of not understanding this, Esau would have been far better off submitted to the will of God, which was, from birth, the younger shall rule over the elder. That was the will of God. It was completely against normality. It was completely against societal norms. But it was God's plan. You remember what Joseph said to his brothers? You meant this for harm, but God meant it for your good. It was completely odd for them to hear that the older would bow down to the younger. It even got odder for the family there whenever Joseph said, not only is the stars, but the sun and the moon going to bow down. But you mean even mom and I? It didn't even bother mom and dad, did it? It was God's will, God's plan, and it turned out the best for the nation of Israel, did it not? Sure it did. They were sustained because of God's plan. Though he did not like what was going on, if he would have yielded to it and submitted himself to it, it would have been far greater and better for Esau to be in the will of God, even though it was against the norm. Against the norm. Esau, he cries. He sold his birthright. Now he's seeking and looking for a blessing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 through 17, that he sought it with tears without repentance. Could not find it. Because of the bitterness and the anger that was in there and beneath him. There's only one blessing that was going to be given there that day, and God wanted Jacob to get it. Isaac's response to this matter, exceeding, shaking, trembling, verse 33. Trouble! Because he had actually went against the hand of God. And his plan had been subverted, and his plan and his will and what he wanted had not come to pass. Verses 41 through 46, the relationships of the two brothers was never the same for a long time. Never the same. Look at the Bible says in verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said his heart, the days of the morning of my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. These words of Esau, or her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent away and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Obey my voice. And arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. We know it didn't end up being a few days, did it? I said this, I've told you many times, sin will keep you longer than you ever want to stay. Until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's angers turn from thee and forget that thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be depraved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. And if Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Hated one another. Despised one another. Esau hated Jacob. Jacob has to flee to Haran. You see the whole living your own way, doing your own thing, keeps you a long time, right? Costs you more than you ever want to pay. She says there, shall I lose to him one day? Shall my husband die in that evening? My other son killed the Jacob. Shall Esau kill Jacob and I lose two of them? So I'm going to send him away. How many in here knows when the next time Isaac will see his mom? When? Never. Not till death in heaven. She dies. She's worried about the seed of the flesh. You start plotting, you start planning, start doing this, start doing that, not doing God's will, not following the planners and plans that's in the Word of God. It cost you. He hated him. Thank God that later on in life that Esau, something happened in least, though he did not find repentance this day, or later on down the line, whenever Jacob is coming back, Jacob thought, for sure I'm going to die. But Esau didn't kill him. I don't know what happened. I don't know what took place. Maybe in Esau's mind, as we study through it, we'll find some passage or some point, some principle in here. But something happens that Esau said, no, it's not worth it. But it never turned Esau to God. Sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes one of our brother and sister does us wrong, and instead of getting right, or making things work and make things right, we get angry, get mad, we get away from God. It's a hard place to live. Here's three lessons that I pinned down for this year. Lesson number one, let us not do evil thinking good will come of it. Let us not do evil thinking good will come of it. Lesson number two, let us be sure, as the scripture says in Numbers 32:23, your sin will find you out. Lesson number three, let us realize for sure and with a certainty that the Lord God reigneth. He doesn't need our help to manipulate to get His will done. He needs our yielding so that He can use us as instruments of righteousness in His plan. That's what He desires, what He wants, what He's asking for. This is a chapter of a messed up family. And we that have families, and we that are a family of Lock Haven Baptist Church, we need to learn from this. We don't need to repeat all this here craziness, plotting against this and plotting against that one, deceiving that one, lying to this one, blaspheming. God's in it. Look at this. We don't need all that. We don't need to get driven to the point where we hate our brother or sister in the Lord, or a physical. There's brothers and sisters don't talk to each other right now. Just angry and bitter and mad at each other. Shouldn't be. Dear friend, if any place in a family there should be some love. I'm not talking about differences. Everybody's going to have differences. We know there's differences. Jacob was a smooth man. Esau was a hairy man. Different. Jacob was loved by his mother, and Esau was loved by his dad. Jacob cared for, things of, I don't know, maybe he was a bookkeeper. I don't know what he was. Pretty good, because when he gets over there to Laban, he's pretty good at counting, ain't he, Brother Jim? He ends up with some pretty good cattle and sheep, so he may have been a bookie. I don't know. He was a supplanter. He may work down there for the Florida Lottery or something. I don't know. But he was different. Esau was a hunter. So there's differences, but there should be love. There should be love, and we should find it in ourselves to love as God loves. Charity never fails. Never felt. When we plot, we scheme, we plan, we try to get, and it brings heartache and trouble and pain. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the book of Genesis and the studies that we've seen in it and gone through. The lessons, Lord, that we're learning together as a church family. We ask you, Father, to teach us to be more Christ-like and God-honored, fearful of disappointing you. Not scared that you're going to strike us with lightning, but God, fearful that we will disappoint you. You're such a kind and gentle Father, loving, tender-hearted, cup of sword that learned of you through Scripture, through prayer, through walking with you. Lord, as our light begins to wane in our latter years of life because of age, may we find it within us to stay strong spiritually. Help us not to be one that shows favoritism, loving one and not being loving towards another. Help us, Lord, not to be a respecter of persons. God, help us never, ever to invoke you in our fleshly schemes and games. Just always to remember, thou art worthy. majesty, and glory, and power belongs to you. Thank you, Father. If we are contrary to one another, we do have envyings and despisings towards one another. Help us to get it right. Help us, Lord, to realize you are our Heavenly Father. And the differences that we have were created by you. Help us to use those to strengthen our family. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.